chapter 5. Now, as a pastor, every week I have to think about preaching. And I want y'all to know I don't just get sermons just to stand up and hear myself talk. I don't like to hear myself talk. And I don't listen to my sermons on the internet. I don't like to hear me. And I think I sound terrible. And I'm sure some of you do too, but I'm all you got. So until you find something better, you're going to have to endure to the end and be saved. Amen. But there's different kinds of preaching. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you haven't got there. There's different kinds of preaching and pastoring. On Sunday mornings, a lot of times I preach evangelistic to win people to Christ because we bring visitors that don't know the Lord. And then on Sunday night, I usually preach doctrinal stuff. You know, you may not know it's doctrinal because people don't really understand that word doctrine, but I feed it to you anyway. You just don't know you're getting it. And it's kind of like when you feed kids medicine, you know, sometimes you have to put it inside a piece of candy to get them to eat it. So I give you a little candy and put some doctrine in it. You don't even know it. But I have to decide, you know, what to preach by. I don't always know who's going to be here. And so this week I've got to thinking with Danny's dad passing away and others passing away recently and sickness and some of you's going through trial and Brother Bud being going through what he's going through. I thought today would be a good pastoral sermon. I thought it would be a good day to try to help you if you're going through trouble. And most of us, if you're not, you will be. You know the old saying, you're either in a valley or you're going upside the hill and coming back down the other side, you'll be in a valley pretty soon. Nobody can stay on the mountaintop. And by the way, the mountaintop is not where the good stuff grows anyway. The good stuff grows in the valley. And that's where you get close to the Lord. I thought, well, today I really would like to encourage some people. And I'd like to preach to you about God's care for the troubled. We all have trouble. And if you're over 10, or if you're below 10 years old, you don't see it. Thank God. Kids don't see a lot of things. They don't know what they're going through. They don't know what they're living in. But if you're over 12, 13 years old, you've seen trouble. And I've got news for you. God wants to help you. He wants to help you. So look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 1 through 7, if you will. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5 is written to the church. And he's talking about the flock of God, what the pastors should do. In verse 2, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And he said, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. But I want you to notice verse 7. Now he's talking to the pastor and he's telling them how to treat the people. And he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now out of all the next verse, being sober and being diligent and all these things which we ought to be, but when it comes to life, we must, and I must encourage you as pastor, not your Lord, not your master, but as your pastor, I must encourage you to cast all your care on him because he careth for you. He cared for you. Now, everyone has troubles. We studied Proverbs this morning, but Job 14:1, most of you know it, but verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now we all have trouble. Everyone has troubles. Believe it or not, rich people have troubles. Poor people have trouble. Educated people have trouble. Uneducated people have trouble. Black people have trouble. White people have trouble. Red, mixture of anything, we all have trouble. There is no one that is born in this world that will get through this life without trouble. And the secret is, what do you do with your trouble? What do you do? Now, some people, they cast it on the bottle. Some people, they'll cast it on the narcotics. Some people will cast it on others. But he said, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. That means he wants to help you. He cares about it. Now, there's a lot of religions in the world that their God has no care. He has no comfort for the people, that the ones that worship him. We know they're false gods. You take Allah, for example. It's all about works. The ultimate thing to that religion is that you sacrifice your life. Not he sacrificed his life, but that you sacrifice your life and die for that religion and get a guarantee of heaven. In our case, our Lord sacrificed his life so that we could get to heaven. You see the difference? Now, I don't think that other God cares about people like my real God does. Amen? And so, therefore, we have to know, we've got to know that God is aware of our trouble. God's aware. God's not asleep. Bible says he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. His eyes on every one of us. Jesus said his eyes even down to on the sparrow. He watches over everything on planet Earth. He knows what's going on. It's not like God woke up one day and said, uh-oh, I didn't know that happened. No, he's aware. He knows what we're going through. And by the way, number one, he has a sympathetic ear. Turn to Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 4, if you will. Look at verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4. Mark these in your Bible. They'll help you when you're discouraged. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. A lot of times people will ask me to go see somebody and they'll say they're going through a lot of this or a lot of that, or something's happened, something's this, you know, some of that. And they think I've got a formula. They think that, well, he's a pastor, he's a preacher. I like the way he talks. He came to see me one time. I got comfort. But I've got news for you. I'm not the comforter. I'm just the messenger. There's nothing in me that can comfort you other than his Holy Spirit. And at some time in your life, you're going to need some comfort. You young people, listen to me. I thought when I was younger, I looked at these old people, you know, I said, boy, when I turn 65, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to go sit on a beach somewhere and soak my feet in the water, and I'm going to fish, and I'm going to, I'm just going to have it made. But you know what? I found out that the older I get, the more complicated it gets. I had children. I got through with those children, then comes grandchildren. Oh, good gracious alive. Amen. So life is hard at its best. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now I want you to know, through all your troubles, and if you're not going through some right now, hang on, they're coming. But I want you to know something. In all your troubles, as your pastor, I want you to know God has a sympathetic ear toward people who are in trouble. He does. He has a sympathetic ear. It's not like he's some statue that can't hear. It's not like he's some dumb idol that can't hear or speak. God is looking and he is fully aware and he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. He has been tempted. In other words, he's experienced everything that we will experience in this life. The Lord Jesus experienced it. He experienced heartbreak. He experienced disappointment. He even experienced the pain and the result of sin, not his own, but ours. You know, our sin hurts us. In the end, it brings forth death. But he didn't suffer that for himself. He suffered that for us. But in that case, he still knows how it feels because he went through that. He bore our iniquities on his own self, on that tree. All the sin and all the heartache and all the disappointment, all the things that we've done and we've experienced, every bit of it went on him that day, and he had every feeling that day that you've ever had. A lot of people have this idea of a mechanical God. And they think, boy, I got this formula, point one, point two, point three, here we go. It's all going to be all right. No, sir. And he knows it's not always going to be all right. But his ear is always listening. He has a sympathetic ear. Because he knows what you've been through. He knows that you have trouble. Amen? Now, we as Christians, we want to help people. We want to be an encouragement. We want to be sympathetic. We want to love people where they are and the problems they're going through. But you know, really, we're very limited on that. We're very limited. At the death of a loved one, there's nothing you can say to comfort anybody at a time like that. Your presence is more than anything else. There's nothing you can say. A divorce. Our children being rebellious and stuff like that. We can say, I know what you're going through, but they'll look at us and say, no, you're not in this situation. You might have went through something similar to this, but you don't know what I'm going through. But Jesus can look down and he can say, I know. I went through it. I experienced it. Let me help you. And so, any time that we're having trouble, whatever it might be, whether it's death or sickness or disappointment or sin or heartbreak or heartache or whatever it might be, God has a sympathetic ear. I've heard people, I talk to people, you know, they'd be going through trouble, and they'll say, preacher, it's my own fault. It's my own fault. I knew it. This is my fault. And I said, well, just ask the Lord to help you. And they'll say, I don't think he'll even listen to me. This is my fault. I said, yeah, he will. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? He's always... You cannot out-sin the sympathy of God. Amen. He said, if I go down to hell, he's there with me. Amen? You cannot out-sin the sympathetic ear of God the Father. He desires to comfort you. He desires to encourage you. Just like when I watch my children go through trouble and I sit there and I weep and I say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? I have a desire, but a lot of times there's nothing you can do. Amen. But God can. Amen. God can. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've felt his presence in times when other people's tried to encourage you and they couldn't do it. Because they'd never experienced what you're going through. They'd never had that experience. And they try to be sympathetic and they try to encourage you, but it don't help a stinking thing. But then somehow in church service or maybe on your prayer knees or in your prayer closet or out in the woods somewhere, all of a sudden the presence of a holy God comes up and puts his arms around you, maybe at the funeral home, maybe at the graveside, maybe at the hospital. And while everybody else has tried to comfort you, you know that God heard you and you know that he's there right then. He desires to comfort you. He has a sympathetic ear. And then I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 real quick. Now, not only does he have a sympathetic ear, but look at John 15. I got to get over there myself. John chapter 15, and look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Did you know that his Holy Spirit was sent to comfort us in the place of Jesus Christ himself? Jesus said, I've got to go. I've got to go. No, Lord, don't go, don't go. He said, I've got to go because if I go, then he can come and he'll comfort you. And did you know that only believers get the comfort of the Holy Ghost? Amen. You ever looked at somebody and you thought, boy, I don't see how they're going through that. I don't know what I'd do. I feel sorry for them. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how they handle it. I don't know how they're going through that. But I got news for you. God, the Holy Ghost, showed up a long time before you ever even thought that. He's our comforter. You see, a lot of people are ignorant of the Holy Spirit. They think all He is a convictor. And He is. He's a convictor. He's come to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's the one that draws us to the Father. He's the one that shows us our sins. He's the one that makes us feel so miserable about what we are and what we've done. He convicts us. But He's also the comforter. You ever thought of this? Now, man, he's supposed to be the head of the home, but you know the woman's supposed to be the heart of the home, like the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Father came along one day and He convicted you. He said, boy, you're going to die if you keep living like that. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And then you got saved, and God the Holy Ghost, like the mother, came along and wrapped His arm around you and said, now I'm going to help you live it. I'm going to help you experience it. And I'm going to help you through this stuff. Amen? And so during time of trouble, we call out to God, and the Holy Spirit, who already lives in us as believers, He moved in you, but He will manifest Himself. He'll make Himself more real and more alive, and He's a person. I pray to the Holy Ghost. I pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father. They're all the same one. But sometimes I'll say, Holy Spirit, I need some help. I need some comfort. I need some encouragement. I need somebody that understands me. And I can't talk to anybody else about this that will understand me. So you're all I got, Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. And the Comforter will come and comfort you. I remember when I was a little boy, Mama, I'd run and skin my knee. And my mom would come. She'd put me up on her lap. And she'd comfort me, you know. I was a mama's boy, you know, and she'd just comfort me and tell me it was going to be all right. And sometimes at night when things got real bad, you know, I'll never forget, as a little boy, I'd lay on her lap, and she had long fingernails. And she'd just rub my back with those fingernails and put me to sleep. Put me to sleep. And that's what the Holy Ghost's job is. His job is to comfort you. Yes, He convicts. Yes, He converts. But yes, after the conviction and you're converted and now you're a believer, now He's your comforter. Amen? Before I got saved, I was afraid of the Holy Spirit. I was afraid if I went to church, He was going to jump on me. I knew He would. And every time that preacher preached, He could be pointing over here and I felt like He was pointing right at me. Amen? And that's the Holy Ghost. And He scared me. And I thought, boy, if I ever get out of here, I ain't never come back here. These people's crazy. This whole thing's crazy. I'm not doing this anymore. And I found myself right back down there after years or months or whatever. And I think, I'm going to go in this time. Because it did make me feel better. I felt like I'd done something good that day, even though I was lost and going to hell. I went to church, you know. And boy, I'd go back and I'd sit back over there behind that man, that big, his last name was McCoy. I'll never forget. He was taller than me. And so I'd sit behind him. And I couldn't see the preacher. Every once in a while, I'd look out behind him. The preacher would be pointing right at me. That's the Holy Spirit, man. I couldn't go. I wasn't getting no comfort. I'd go to work and Mr. Bud would talk to me and it didn't comfort me. It convicted me. People would come to my house and they'd sit on my couch and talk to me and witness to me. And it didn't give me no comfort. It convicted me until I let Him convert me. And He gave me a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. Now I want to be around the Holy Spirit. I want to be in His presence because now it's not conviction, it's not conversion. Now it's comfort. He's comforting me. I tell people sometimes I go see them, they'll be gotten out of church and they're going through trouble and they'll sit there and give me a long list of all their troubles. And when I was a younger preacher and didn't know everything I know now, I'd try to comfort them, but I can't. So here's what I tell them. I say, you know what? I'm sorry you're going through all this, but you have separated yourself from everybody and everything that would comfort you. You're out of church. People at church would love to comfort you. That's what we get a thrill out of, is comforting us. And I said, you're out of the will of God. You're out of the word of God. You're out of the work of God. And the Holy Ghost right now, he's not comforting you. He's gone back to convicting you. But God, the Holy Spirit, wants to comfort you. And then some people won't receive comforting from him. Well, I'll make it. I'll be all right. No, you're not going to be all right. You need some help. And until you surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him comfort you, he can't do it. You'll end up bitter and broken. Amen. And then, did you know that he reminds us of the promises of God? People tell me, preacher, I wish I knew as much Bible as you do. If you've been preaching as long as I have, it just sticks. It ain't like I'm the smartest guy in here. I'm not. I don't have the best memory. That's my wife. Ask her. Sticky notes. I don't know. But you know what? I get around the Holy Spirit. And you get to preaching, teaching, or witnessing, or going through something, and he'll bring stuff to your mind that you didn't even know you knew. And you'll say, thank you, Lord, I didn't know I knew that. Or I learned that when I was in Sunday school, when I was a kid. And I'd forgotten all about that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, that's his job. And I got, listen, if you're going through trouble today, let him. Allow him, invite him to comfort you. You're not tough. You're not going to make it on your own. You won't comfort yourself. Things of this world will not comfort you. And most of the people in this world will not comfort you. They'll discourage you. My daughter said in Sunday school this morning, all my stories are sad. Yeah, but they all have good endings. I got saved. I'm going to heaven. Hey, I talked to the Holy Ghost. He talks to me. I got a Bible. Amen. And God can take all that pain that you're experiencing, all that trouble, and he can turn it into rejoicing and use it for a testimony. Talks about my stories. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of people that listen to those stories that's going through that right now, and they need somebody to say, I went through that. God rescued me. God will rescue you, see. Now, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Romans 5, 14. It's 7 minutes till 12. The Methodists are already saying the last prayer. Romans, did I say 15, 4? Romans 15, 4. I'm sorry, 15, not 5. Romans 15. Romans 15, look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Did you know God wrote the Bible to give you comfort in during your trouble? Look, you can't get the comfort if you don't go to where it's written. You know what you're supposed to do when you're going through trouble? You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. You're supposed to do what you know. Every morning you get up and you thank God you're still alive. And you say, thank God I can still walk. Thank God I can still talk. Thank God I can still see. Thank God I can still hear. Thank God I'm still in my right mind. If I ain't, leave me alone. I'm real happy right now. Amen? Every day you thank him. And every day you search the Scriptures, because Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. See? Now, you search those Scriptures every day. You read the Bible every day. And look, if you don't read the Bible, it's kind of like him sending you a letter to comfort you, and you never open the letter. Amen. But he wrote the Scriptures. Not, yes, they convict you. Yes, they'll help convert you. Yes, they will disciple you. But yes, they will comfort you too in your trouble, but you got to read them, see? Turn to James 5:11. James 5:11. In chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy. You know, Scripture teaches me, if I read this, there's some stories of trouble in there that I can learn from, and like Job, and I can get some encouragement from their stories because they've been there, they've done that, and I can read the good news at the end of it. Amen? But you got to have the Scriptures. And let me just go ahead and warn you. Don't go to one of these churches where the preacher gets up and reads half of Scripture and then talks for 30 minutes. You need more than that. I need more than that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hey, listen, it's our faith that will help us overcome these things and endure these things because we know what the Word of God said.
Amen. Yeah.
And did you know that while we're suffering, listen, He watches over us, He protects us, He gives us power, and you won't know that without the Scriptures. And some crook will come along and mislead you. And some old Jezebel will come along and mislead you. And I got news for you. There's not a person on planet Earth that can comfort you like the Spirit and the Scriptures can. Amen? Amen. And then last but not least, did I say the Methodist was already in line at the steakhouse? The Presbyterians are saying the final amen. The Baptists getting ready to leave. Look here. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 3 and 4. You say, preacher, how do you know this? I've experienced it. I've been through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He said, now listen. You're going through trouble. You got trial, heartache, heartbreak. I got news for you. God's going to comfort you. And He didn't comfort you for nothing because there's going to be somebody else you know that's going to go through the same thing. And they're going to need some comfort too. And I'm going to comfort you so you can comfort them. Amen? You see, we got this idea that Christianity has now been turned over to professional people. And we hired a pastor to preach to us, then we hired another to go to the hospital, then we hired another one to go down to the nursing home, then we hired another one to go to somebody's house, and we hired... No, that's not what He said in His Word. He said, now you're going to need comfort, and I'm going to give you comfort that you can comfort others that are going through the same thing you're going through. It is a selfish, sinful act to be comforted by God Himself in your trouble and not share that with other people after you get through yours. I'm going to tell you, the biggest funeral you'll go to in town is the one where that person comforted other people. The smallest funeral you'll go through is where a sinful, selfish, self-centered didn't ever help anybody else. They might have been saved, I don't know, but they never helped anybody else. They never encouraged anybody else. They never showed any sympathy or compassion on anybody else. And you go down there to that funeral, and they'll have to get hired hands from the funeral home to help carry him to the grave. God didn't comfort us for us just to take that and run with it and never share it. This world is full of hurting people. I'm like old Billy Boatwright. The older I get, the more I cry. He told me one day going out, he said, "Preacher, I just cry all the time. I can't help it." I said, "Well, that's the Lord working on you. The Lord's working on you." Because I remember when he was hard as a rock. Amen. I remember when he was hard. But do you know what trial and tribulation do? It'll draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to thee. And as we do that, then he'll comfort us, he'll encourage us, he'll heal us, and then he will encourage us to do the same to other people. Well, preacher, I'm going through this trouble right now. That's okay. The sun's coming up in the morning. God's going to encourage you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to lift you out of it. But tomorrow, somebody else is going to need it that's going through the same thing you're going through, and you need to help them. God uses people. It is our obligation as Christians. We'll be motivated to comfort each other. Now, you can say anything you want to about Jason Coley, but I got news for you. If there was a funeral around, that man knew how to take care of it. I'll never forget, we had some bus kids. When we first went up there, we had a bunch of bus kids. And one of them's, somebody died. I can't remember who it was. But I didn't know what to do. I thought, well, you know, they're bus kids and their parents don't ever come to church, their grandparents don't ever come to. I really don't know what to do. And he got together and got some food from the church. And he and his wife and me and my wife took that food to that house. And those people were not Christians and they were rough. But I got news for you. When we got out of the car, they were all out in the yard, you know, noisy and everything. We got out of that car and headed in the house. That whole crowd went silent. And we walked in there and we, yeah, reverence. And we walked in there and we gave, put the food on the table and we paid our respects and we gave our sympathy. And we walked back out to the car and got in the car and I said, "Brother Jason, now what just happened?" He said, "What?" I said, "Everything got quiet. Everybody got quiet." He said, I said, "Was they scared of us or something?" He said, "No, it wasn't you." He said, "They felt God when we came." He said, "Through what we were doing, they saw God." Now, I don't care who it is. What a comfort, people. I don't care where they come from. I don't care where they're going. What a comfort, people. Because we didn't deserve it when we got it. We didn't deserve any comfort. We didn't deserve any mercy. And God gave it to us to give to somebody else. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know how to witness." That's the greatest witness on planet Earth. Love in the unlovable. Caring when nobody else cares. Showing sympathy when everybody else is judging and condemning. Amen? I told you I'm preaching pastoral today. Listen, everybody has trouble. God help us. You get to think about the trouble some people's going through right now. You weep. And then you look up to heaven, you say, "Except by the grace of God," that would be me. There's an old man stumbles up and down these streets. I think he's schizophrenic, but he's also a drug addict and a drunk. And every once in a while, he came in here one time. I don't know if y'all remember that. But every once in a while, he'll come out there, you know, he'll stumble around and say something to me. You know, sometimes he'll say something he ought not say. But I never get mad at him. You know what I think? That's somebody's boy. That's somebody's son. Somebody needs to be nice. And I'm nice to him. I really am. I'm nice to the man. And he's not in his right mind. And he's trying to self-medicate himself. And I know they probably give him medication. He quits it, but he'd rather drink. Or you can say whatever you want to. But somebody, look, somebody in your family may turn out that way one day. You might yourself. There might something happen to you and brother Ron next week that it just flips a switch in your mind. You lose your mind and become some kind of flaming maniac and go to drink and drugs and everything else. Amen? Right. You don't ever know. Right. You don't know. Right. Come on, that's good. Y'all, listen, I'm being serious. we've got the ear of God.
Did you hear me?
Amen. We've got the ear of God. He wants to hear. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We've got the saints of God to encourage us. And this poor old lost world has got Lady Gaga. They've got NFL. They've got Hollywood, Nashville, NASCAR. Amen. We can go on all day. Listen, they've got vodka. They got Budweiser. But none of that in the end will ever comfort. They'll never know the comfort that we know as believers. And unless we tell them, how shall they hear without a preacher? And you're a preacher. Death has invaded all our families. I know what that is. I'm the last of nine. It's a horrible thing. And to ignore people when they're going through something like that, that's sinful. Alcohol, drug addiction, those things have invaded just about every family. It's broken every... Hey, almost everybody in this room has had a broken heart over that stuff. And to ignore people that's going through that, that's a sinful thing. There's just so many things I could say that people are going through. You ever thought about this? I was out knocking on doors one day. There used to be they done tore it down, a motel over here, about five of us went over there just knocking on doors. This is where they put up all the drunks and the drug addicts when they didn't have a place to stay, you know. And I walked up to this woman standing in the parking lot, and I said, ma'am, I told her who I was, and I invited her to church. She said, you wouldn't want me to come to your church. I said, you're wrong. She said, you don't know who I am. I said, you don't know who I am. And she said, but you don't know how I live. I said, I don't care how you live. I said, I want to share the gospel with you. I'm not here to condemn you. If you're not saved, you're already condemned. Amen. She said, but I'm a homosexual. I said, that's not the unpardonable sin. She said, but I live with a woman right here. I said, the Lord can save both of you. Amen. She said, but you don't understand. I said, I understand 100%. Most of this world is looking for somebody to love them. And I said, I don't know how you got into what you're into, but it could be you was just hunting somebody to love you, and I got news for you. Somebody already loved you, and that's the one I want to tell you about. And I witnessed to her, and she got teared up, but she didn't get saved, and they didn't come to church. But I'm going to tell you one thing she found out. There was somebody in this world that cared about what she's going through besides a perverted person. And see, the world, they go to these kind of people, and they go to our children and our grandchildren, and they prey on them because they're going through trouble and heartache and pain. And they say, I'll comfort you. I'll help you. Them old Christians, bunch of hypocrites, they're not going to do anything. And then they draw them into that sin, which ends up killing them. When it used to be, Christians would say, look, you don't need to go there. There's a bunch of people down here who love you. God loves you. He sent His only Son to die in your place so you could go to heaven. And He wants to take care of you on your way to heaven. And He wants to comfort you. And He has a desire to hear you right now. He desires to save you. And that's the story we need to tell people. Look, I never go to a funeral and say, well, that was a waste. They went to hell. I never do that. I don't know if it went to hell or not. I don't know who's saved other than me. I know I'm saved. He's right there. I was there when he moved in. Amen. Now, some of you, I think you're saved. I hope you're saved. I pray you are. But I don't go to funerals and tragedy and say, well, if I hadn't been a drunk, that never would have happened. I said, no. I have sympathy and I have compassion. I want to see people saved. And that car wreck might have just been what God used to get me to them so they could hear that. Amen. What a comfort one another of all places, the house of God. By the way, I didn't mean to say this. It ain't written down. But when somebody falls into sin, it's not your job to kick them while they're down or shoot them. The church is the only place that shoots their own wounded. That's not your job. Your job is to try to lift them back up. Amen? Your job is to try to encourage them, get them back where they used to be, not beat them down and run them out of the church. Your job is to try to get them back to the Savior, back to the Holy Ghost, back to that abundant life. They've been deceived. They've been drawn away. And they're in trouble is what it is. Sin is trouble. We'll lift up the fallen. Most Baptists want to bury them alive. Write them all. Here's what they'll say, Brother Ron. I knew it. No, you didn't know. No such thing. And when you fall, you want us to come around and say, I knew it. They're sick. They're going through trouble. And we need to lift them up. Now, if you're lost, you know what? If you don't know the Lord, if you've never been saved, you're all on your own. You don't have a helper. You don't have a comforter. You don't have an encourager. All you got is this world. You know what? Everything in this world is against you. Everything in this world is against you. And they can't help you. You know what I would do if I were you and I were lost and I was in trouble? I would run to the Savior. I'd run down here at the altar and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. I ain't worth helping. You don't have to help me. You probably ought not even help me. But I need some help, Lord. And I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. And I'm asking you to save me. And if that saves me out of my trouble, that's fine. But if it don't, I'm going to trust you anyway. If you're not saved today, I encourage you to come be saved. If you are saved, I want to encourage you. There is a comforter, and He wants to comfort you. Receive the comfort He sends your way. And I want to encourage you. There are some people that still love you. There's still some people that love God. And they want to be, they want to be an encouragement to you. Let them be an encouragement to you. And then, Christian, be an encourager. Because next week, it might be you. It might be your husband, might be your wife, might be your children. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.